This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So I'm looking forward to this weekend of relaxation and Masters on my television. Maybe some NBA playoffs. A weekend of doing nothing. A weekend of just sitting still and just letting the relaxive nature of time off do its thing. Well, I won't be doing what Jimmy Johnson is doing. In other words, Jimmy Johnson, the race car driver, on Saturday night is going to run 400 miles under the lights at Richmond in his racing automobile. And then he's going to fly up to Boston on Monday to run the marathon. Yeah, that's right. He's going to drive in a race car Saturday night, get himself ready to run a 26.2-mile road race through Boston on Monday. It's going to make me feel terrible when I don't get off the couch for 8 hours. But that's a pretty good accomplishment for a race car driver. I used to think that running the Indy 500 and flying for the Coca-Cola 500 on Memorial Day weekend was tough enough. I didn't think a race car driver would actually run race 400 miles in his car and then run 26.2 miles on his feet. So Jimmy Johnson, props to you. Because I don't think I could do it. I'll be honest, I don't think I could ever train for a marathon, ever. I just don't think I'm built for running. I did a 5K once, and that's enough for me. I did a 5K once where I came nearly last. I didn't care because it was just a personal accomplishment of mine. So A, I'm not fast. B, I don't have tremendous endurance. I know some of my friends have done marathons, and I've had too many of those friends, not enough. You know, there's been a couple that are like, I love it. I'll run another one. I'm going to try to run the New York Marathon, or I'm going to try to run the Chicago Marathon. But I've had enough who ran it and said, I'm never going to do that ever again. I've done it once. Bucket list. Goodbye. Good night. That's it. Boston Marathon is a good marathon, though. You can't just run it. You can't just sign up and run it. You have to have some sort of, you have to show that you've been in marathons. You have to show you can do this. I mean, maybe Jimmy Johnson gets a pass because he's a famous athlete and whatnot, but good for him if he can pull it off. All right, coming up next, the Steelers want other Steelers, former Steelers, to stop doing this one thing that's driving their team crazy. And I don't like where this is heading. I'll tell you about it next. Coming up, SB Nation AM. It's SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. That is coming up in about 30 minutes. Know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help within 24 hours, and insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-471-2270. 800-471-2270. The Steelers are a mess. They are in complete disarray. I mean, I am, as a Steeler fan, I can tell you this, as just a guy who covers the league and follows the league, I can say it more emphatically. I do not like where this team is going. I'm very worried about the upcoming season. Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey are urging former Steelers to stop criticizing current Steelers on social media. I'll tell you what they said in just a minute, but first off, this sounds like a stop picking on me kind of whine that you really don't want to hear from adults. Sometimes you just want adults to just, all right, whatever, say whatever you want. It don't matter. This is what they are. They're urging former Steelers that have problems with current Steelers to, again, stop going on social media with these problems. Foster wrote on Twitter, moving forward, any former player or affiliate of the Steelers who has an issue with anyone still in the locker room, please contact me or Marquise Pouncey or anyone else you feel you can talk to. Whomever you have an issue with, we will get you their number so you can address them. I promise, these media takes may get you all good traffic on your social media outlets, but the guy's still in that locker room, and y'all still know personally have to answer for those comments. Call them what you want, but call them personally and tell them. Defend who you want to defend, but you don't have to mention the team at all. Whatever you have, whether you have a ring or played for 1 year, enough. Chill. Most players at one point in their life want to take their kids back to the place where they once played. Don't burn too many bridges. It's a long history or brotherhood more than anything. Business is one thing, but let's keep it at a minimum for the guys who still have to answer for those comments moving forward. Great, right? Great in theory, terrible in practice. Great in theory because, yeah, the message is this. Got a beef? Tell the guy personally. Got a beef with the guy? Tell him personally. Call him up. Hash it out. Do it to his face. Don't be a chicken. Don't go on social media. Bad in theory, because what he pointed out in that statement is 100% correct. A lot of guys are doing this to up their social media cred. And you don't do that by picking up a phone and talking to a guy privately. No, 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 no. You do it by going on social media and doing it and giving yourself more attention. There's money to be made out there with a high media profile. And if you can do some things like Rashard Mendenhall saying Ben Roethlisberger is a racist and then trying to backtrack that, or any other problems that you have with the organization, that's going to get people talking about you, and that's going to give people more of an opportunity to see your social media profile. So again, it's good in theory, but it's not good from the standpoint of these guys are going to do, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. Plus, they're angry at the team. They're angry at some players on the team. This has as much chance of working as any other plea to calm down the internet and Twitter and all of that. It just doesn't work. The genie's already out, right? The reality of it is the Steelers are a mess because it is open season on them. It is open season. And they did it to themselves, but there was nothing really they could do. Le'Veon Bell, they just weren't going to sign to a long-term deal. They just weren't going to do it. They offered him money. They offered him a lot of money, but they just didn't want to lock him up to a long-term deal that he wanted. And Antonio Brown, for whatever he wants to say about the team, that just was a divorce waiting to happen. He's got a problem with Ben. He's got a problem with Tomlin. He's got a problem with the organization. Whatever it is, that divorce needed to occur. But then Antonio Brown feels like it's open season on Juju Smith-Schuster. This is not going to go well. The Steelers need to button up, shut up, and play football. And they need to realize that right now, in this moment, in this season, they're a target. They're going to be a target of people who played for the team or have problems with the team or Antonio Brown's friends or whatever it is. And they've got to come together as a unit and not publicly do this whining that, don't talk about us on social media. Well, stop picking on us. We can't just deal with it personally. You got to answer to this to the media. It sounds desperate. I love these guys. I love Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey. I think their mindset was correct. But I think if you just take two steps from that, it's not a very good idea. Right? You ever work with somebody who's just dramatic all the time? You ever work with somebody who just is always just everything is over dramatic? And then when you call that person out for being over dramatic, they don't see it. Right? You just like everything you say, it's not, it doesn't have to be drama. It doesn't have to be on 11. Like we can have a normal conversation. You don't have to take everything so personally. I'm just giving you some constructive criticism and they overblow it. I mean, I've worked with a few people like that. The Steelers are dealing with a lot of people like that. And they're not understanding how to take it. The best way to do it is just build a fortress around the team and then tell everybody, look, the eras are coming. Let's everybody band together. Let's stick up for one another and let's get through this because it is going to go away. The nature of the NFL is do then follow some other dysfunctional mess that's going on. Right now it's our turn. It's going to go away and somebody else is going to take over. Let's just not draw too much attention to ourselves and we'll get through this. Let everybody yap and talk, but let's protect ourselves. I mean, this plea to former Steelers that have a gripe to keep quiet. What are they thinking? Goodness gracious. It's like we're done with that. But again, I understand what they were trying to do. I just don't like this. I remember talking to Hines Ward at the Super Bowl, And both of us just thought this team's a disaster. Just the cohesiveness is gonna show up in the season. I don't know where it's going. But this is not a very good look.
No, it's frustrating.
It is. It is. You're fending off. Rashard Mendenhall, really? And then he backtracks it and he's like, I don't know. I'm sorry. It happens. Listen, it's social media does a lot of things to people. It makes them empowered. All right. It does. Right. You can. The thing about Twitter, for example, you can tweet directly at a celebrity that would normally not listen to anything you say and probably won't see the tweet anyway. But you can feel like they did. Right. Have a problem with the politician. You can tell that politician he's a mess. Don't like a movie? You can tell the actor directly on Twitter that you hated it, right? Some celebrity makes some comment on a political issue that you disagree with. You could tell them they're a loser. Isn't this a great world we live in? You think that genie's going back in the bottle? Do you keep using that analogy? You think it's going away? That's empowering to people, and it's empowering to people with grudges. Right? If you're a former Steeler and you don't like the team, maybe they did you wrong. Take your shots, right? You can go a little overboard, but you're going to take your shots. And Ramon Foster, Marquise Pouncey, there's nothing they can say to get you to do otherwise. Because it's much more fun to take shots and see your social media profile climbing through the roof than it is to actually be a man and call somebody about the problems that you may have. So, man, social media. If it ruins my football team, I'm going to be really mad, Ron Culver. Well, I'm going to be really mad.
I was about to say, is this the most tumultuous offseason you've ever experienced with them?
Yeah, because it by far. By far. Because they normally aren't like this. They normally are very close-knit, tight, try to stay out of the limelight, try to stay out of the spotlight. Some guys will come and go and whatnot. But this is, I gotta tell you, you should have been, when you were at the Super Bowl listening to Hines Ward, he was down on this team. He's not happy at all. Right? Now, I know that the rumors around Hines Ward were that he wanted to be part of the coaching staff and he didn't get a gig, so he's bitter. I've heard that many times. But that doesn't mean that what he's saying isn't true about the Steelers. His own personal gripe with the team. It doesn't mean what he's saying isn't true. It's true. The team is dealing with way too much drama. It's a zoo. It's a zoo because they made business decisions on two guys. And they made business decisions on two guys who took it way too personally. Right? What did Herschel Walker tell us yesterday? Right? That Tom Landry told him, I don't want to get too close to players because I may have to cut you. Right? It's business. Antonio Brown didn't want to be a Steeler, so they didn't make him a Steeler anymore. Okay. Why can't you just be in Oakland and be happy? Taking shots at Juju Smith-Schuster. Just because some fan was like, he won the team MVP last year. Just go, okay, good for him. I'm a Raider now. Le'Veon Bell, same thing. Just bitter. He didn't get the real deal he wanted. So he's now with the Jets. All right, you sat out a year. Now you get the deal you want.
The real bad thing, the lone bright spot, really, for the Steelers offense this year, or not the offense, but just the Steelers in general, was the peace between James Conner and Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah,
the tweets going back and forth from them were actually admirable.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah, that was right. That was very true.
During the time of Antonio Brown just losing it. I know he's not a Steeler anymore, but he's still hurting the Steelers.
That's right.
I don't know. This has been a bad, bad look for your team.
It really has been a bad look, and I just don't like where this is going next year. I just think it's a year of transition, so I'm not really sure where it's going. And the Browns are looking really good, and it's just they look like they're crying. The Browns are crying because they're so excited to be together. The Steelers are yelling. Former Steelers are yelling at Steelers and Steelers. Oh, it's just too much. it's going to be fun. Never mind. It's just part of me wants to do this as a real analysis of a team. And then the other part of me has got my heart breaking because I know next year might be a dud season. I hate dud seasons that are going to go nowhere. And the Steelers aren't going to be terrible enough that I could root for like a top five pick. Right. They're probably going to go 8-8. Be boring.
Yep. Be middle
terrible,
of the pack.
Middle of the pack.
Just outside the top 10.
Yep. Womp, 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 womp. You don't want to be that. You just don't want to be that. It's a disaster. Way to go. All right, coming up next, Masters Week, and the media needs to stop obsessing about one particular story about the defending champ. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, you can now earn O Reward points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You get $5 rewards for every 150 points you earn. Visit oreward.com and become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, so the Masters defending champion is Patrick Reed. In case you did not know this, if you follow golf, Reed is not very tight with his family. There are stories about how, you know, Patrick Reed did not invite them to the Masters to watch him win last year. They did not invite them to the Masters to watch him defend the title. His family has been to golf courses, and they have been escorted off golf courses at the request of Patrick Reed and his wife. And the media can't get enough of this story. They want to go to the Reed's house and find out what they're doing while their son, who they took to golf tournaments when he was a kid and raised him and everything like that, to how does it feel to have raised a Masters champion, but he doesn't want any part of your life? How's that family dynamic working for you? And the media can't seem to get enough of this story, and I wish they would stop. We can read into a lot of things. Patrick Reed is not really the nicest guy in the world. He was accused of cheating when he was at the University of Georgia. He wasn't a very good teammate when he was at Augusta State. A lot of people don't like Patrick Reed on tour. When he won at Augusta last year, it wasn't a rousing, a victorious moment for the crowd like it was when Jordan Spieth won. But they need to lay off this story. And I'll tell you why. Because we don't know the other side of the story. We don't know why Patrick Reed is discontinuing his relationship with his mom and dad. Frankly, it's not none of really of our business. But two, we don't know. He hasn't said anything, and he won't say anything. And while it feels like it would be a fun story to go to the Reeds while they're watching on TV, while their son puts on the green jacket, and to describe the heartbreak of a father watching his son on TV, not being able to share it because the son doesn't want to have anything to do with the dad, or why the mom is crying because the son doesn't want anything to do with the mom. And while he is married and is going to have a family and wants nothing to do with it, as long as Reed stays quiet, we don't know what the story is. We're only getting it from one side. And we're only getting it from a side that's going to say all the things to support their side into this feud. I have no idea why Patrick Reed doesn't want to be part of his family. But if he wants to share that with the public, he can share that with the public whenever he wants. But until then, we need to stay out of it. Because it could be something people don't want to hear who write the stories of a parent's grieving lament that their son is no longer in their lives. The details might change that angle. Because we have no idea. We have no idea what kind of parents they were. We have no idea what kind of upbringing it was. Maybe the answer is he was a jerk, just being a jerk. Maybe the answer is they made him a jerk. Maybe the answer is his upbringing wasn't great and was hurtful and there was something wrong. We have no clue. And yet the media seems to be obsessed by this. And I wish they would stop. I really wish they would stop. There's great stories out there. And it is, listen, nobody wants the Masters champion to not be a people's champion, right? Nobody likes that. We don't want, you know, there should be no villain that in golf, right? It's not like sports where there's a team we all love to hate. Golfers don't usually generate that kind of animosity towards the public. I mean, Patrick Reed's not the most warmest of guys, but you know what I like about Patrick Reed? When he's at the Ryder Cup, he is a bulldog. And not really at last Ryder Cup because they all fell apart, but nevertheless, he's a bulldog. His match with Rory McIlroy at Hazeltine two and a half years ago was one of the greatest matches in the history of the Ryder Cup. He knows how to cheer on the United States. He knows how to play for his country when it comes to the Ryder Cup. And he is confident. And he's brash. And he rubs people the wrong way. And he wasn't the warmest champion Augusta has ever had. And I think a lot of that had to do with the oversaturation of the story about how he treats his parents. But for whatever reason, he will not tell his side of the story. And if this is something that's important to the media, if this is a story and a narrative that they want to tell, if this is a story in which they want to paint, they need his side of the story. Because parents, teachers, anybody in your life that you have an estranged relationship with, coaches, agents, name it. Name somebody in an athlete's life in which they once had a good relationship and then they fell apart. They will always paint themselves as the angel. They will always paint themselves as the, I don't know what happened, he just changed. And maybe that's true. But we don't know. We don't know. In all likelihood, he married a woman who wanted just to pull him away from his parents. Seen that story a lot.
No, it's kind of like it's kind of like Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, very much so. You right.
Know, I mean, he's estranged from his family. Shots have been fired on both ends, but at the end of the day, it's really none of our business. All we should be really concerned about is, you know, is Aaron Rodgers healthy? Is he going to drop another RELAX on us?
Right. Exactly. You know,
that's all we should really care about.
Exactly. And I cringe when I read the stories because I read the stories and I do. I see the sadness, right? Of nobody, no parent wants to raise a child who becomes successful and doesn't want anything to do with them anymore, right? Like nobody wants that. That's like I got two kids. It's my fear, right? My fear is my son might one day become super successful and not call his parents anymore for whatever reason. But if he does do that, there's probably a reason why. And maybe it is something I would have done. Maybe it was a miscommunication or maybe something I did that caused that. And until you know that, it is hard to make a judgment call on that particular athlete. Because a journalist going to the Reed's house to watch them watch the Masters, while their son is either the defending champ or playing last year to win the tournament, and then writing this atmosphere where the parents are in this, you know, not glowing article because it's actually sad, but this article in which the parents are just bewildered by their son's dismissal of them. They're not telling you why. You think they're going to tell you why? Do you think if there was, let's say, physical or emotional abuse, that they would say that? No, they would say, oh, we have no idea. He just changed. He married that woman and he changed. Which happens, by the way. That happens, right? There are relationships, there are marriages that where people get into them, and you know what? There's a pull away a little bit, right? Oh, do we have to go there for Christmas every year? Oh, do we have... Right. But that's minor compared to what the Reeds are going. Like the Reeds don't even get a call or a card or anything. He doesn't talk to them at all. Like literally there was one story in which the Reeds went to a golf tournament to see Patrick play. His wife noticed them there and had them escorted off the golf course. I mean, but until he opens his mouth, we can't make judgments. And really, you're right. It's same thing with Jordan Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers. Shots have been both on both sides, but we have absolutely no idea what the real story is. So I hope the media backs off on the Reeds. I hope they back off Patrick. This is a family matter. Let him play some golf. Let him defend the title, whatever it is. But let's not paint a picture that may not be there. SB Nation Radio.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I don't know if it makes a difference, but the Friday edition of the good, the bad, the dumb always comes at a good time because it's Friday, but just always feel like it's a little different at the end of the week. So let's start with the good for this end of the week Friday's edition of the good, the bad, and the dumb.
Now, I don't know if this is going to be good for everybody, but it's good for me because it's going to allow me to nerd out for a little bit.
Okay.
Because happening right now in the great city of Chicago is Star Wars celebrations.
Really?
Yes, where they get people together, panels together, discuss all things Star Wars. And it's also a time for Disney to kind of just flex their muscle.
Yeah, of course. Right. Yep.
But what I'm most excited for, what I'm anticipating today, is will be our first look at Episode 9.
So Episode 9 is the new one that's coming out, right?
Yes.
It's going to be right.
It'll come out in
following
December.
Following the debacle of Episode 8.
You may say debacle. I may say, you know, it was a decent movie.
You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. I enjoyed it. I enjoy all of them. Well, not the first one. The number one, Phantom Menace.
All right.
Although I do enjoy Ewan McGregor in that role. I thought he did an outstanding job.
There are a thousand things wrong with Episode 8. Before you get to the story, real quick, just the one thing of, you know what would be a good idea? Let's go to light speed and smash through the Star Destroyer. That can't happen because that's not how ships transport through light speed.
You don't know that.
It's not going super fast. You are going into another, you are creating a wormhole. He was so stupid to put that in that movie. Oh, God. Okay, go ahead. Star Wars Celebration.
No, but I'm excited. I'm excited to see how they're going, you know, what. I mean, obviously, if they do drop a trailer today, which has been the case. It's been the case the last two times.
Okay.
Or maybe not today, but at some point this weekend. I would have to say it'd be like a Friday news dump, right? It's got to be.
Yeah, of course, right.
And, you know, it'll just probably be like a minute long, if that. Just a little teaser. But, you know, I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm anticipating something to just happen and where, you know, we get our first look at the, you know, the ending of the Skywalker saga.
Yeah,
I'm curious how they're going to do it.
I am too. I'm curious. But isn't he dead?
Well, Luke can always come back as a ghost. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, they all can come back as a ghost, but they don't do anything. They can't do anything.
I don't know. Maybe
like Obi-Wan just talked, like, and Yoda just talked. They weren't actively
in that last,
doing anything.
But
Anakin Skywalker is dead. He's not roaming around doing stuff.
In 8, Yoda did have lightning strike the tree. So
that is very true.
There, you know, maybe they found some wisdom in their years of.
No, they're just just make up new rules as we go along. It's fine.
Exactly. It's a movie. It's fantasy. Right. I'm just curious what they're going to do with Leia. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, because she died in real life.
But, you know, piggybacking on that, Disney is just, you know, literally will just be printing money by the end of the year. I fully believe it. They did announce the first part of the Skywalker or the Star Wars Celebration, the new streaming service Disney's offering. Did you see that?
I did, yeah.
It actually looks kind of cool.
That is look cool. That does look pretty cool.
You know, I don't know if it's $7 a month cool yet, but
I'll try it for $7 a month, and then I'll probably cancel it after 6 when I realize there's nothing else I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. You know, it has me intrigued. I mean, because it's not just Disney. It's like, I mean, it's Disney, but they're also including, I mean, there's going to be ESPN on there. I think they're including it all.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because, you know, especially now that ESPN or that Disney has acquired Fox, there's all those television rights that Fox had that ESPN or that. I keep saying ESPN, but they pretty much just acquired.
Okay, so the Chicago Star Wars Days, how long is that?
I think it's just through the weekend. It started yesterday and it just lasts through the weekend. So we should see, you know, hopefully something fun and positive that we could talk about on Monday.
All right, very good.
I don't know, I'm excited. Thanks for allowing me to nerd out, America.
You got it. You can nerd out.
The bad, speaking of nerds, and I don't know why they did this, but Toyota has decided that they needed a robot that could shoot half-court jumpers.
Nope, they don't. Nope.
I don't know why this is necessary for us to keep pushing. Let's have robots do more and more human things.
No, because if a robot can hit a half-court jumper, it can kill you from 3 miles away.
Exactly.
That's basically how this works. So don't invent the robot that can hit half-court jumpers.
And it did. I mean, you know, literally it's the Steph Curry of robots. I mean, he drained a half-foot jumper, nothing but the bottom of the net.
So
he,
the
no
robot can...
at all.
Oh, my God, that's scary. The robot can figure out, like, it's the trajectory.
Yep.
And, okay, first of all, if the military isn't on this in 18 seconds, I'd be shocked.
Or if they, you know, secretly funded it.
Right. Because you could totally see the military going, well, that's an interesting robot that you have there that could throw a projectile and land it on a perfect arc at exactly the right target. I mean, there's nothing we can do with that, but it's cool. Do you mind if we try it or just kind of test it out for a couple of maybe just like house cleaning projects that we have around the base? Right? You mean to tell me it can throw an object at a particular angle and arc? Well, that doesn't seem very boring. It's not very interesting to us, but we'd like to take a look at it. I mean, come on.
And, I forgot to share this the other day. The other day I was at Walmart.
Yeah.
Right? I had I was picking up a few things and I'm in this aisle and all of a sudden a robot came towards me.
What?
I'm being totally serious. A robot, like, cleaner came towards me.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, well, I guess, it was just cleaning the floor. And I'm like, well, and the robot was tall. I mean, just like this big box with a picture of vacuum cleaner. That's
driving around? It's just walking around?
No, it's just rolling around.
Yeah.
And then it came towards my cart, so I moved over to the side, and it just kept inching forward. It was like reading out the land. And, you know, could sense that I was there, then turned around and left and went the other way.
Wow.
But I'm like, why, you know, because the thing that really made me laugh is I saw the robot again later and it's just cleaning the floor. But then there was someone behind it actually sweeping the floor like a human. And I can't believe I'm actually saying these sentences that, you know, there was a literal human sweeping the floor behind the robot cleaning the floor.
Oh, God. All right. So back to this half-court shooting robot. Is it very good at this job?
Apparently. I mean, it was I'll send you the video link.
You're going to scare me. I don't want to be scared this weekend.
Because the other
I'm
thing,
already scared of robots.
The other thing that didn't really make any sense is that there was a guy in a VR suit, VR glasses or whatever, who controlled a robot to hand the ball to the other robot.
Oh, we're all dead.
I don't,
man, we're all dead.
We are. I don't know why we need
this. None
of
these robot stories make me happy.
We don't.
I think I told you this one time before. I think it was Joe Rogan had a video on his podcast where he had they showed a robot they dumped a bunch of tomatoes, like tomatoes were going off a conveyor belt, and as the tomatoes were falling into the bin, the robot was able to whack the green tomatoes out of the line. And it's this unbelievably rapid movement. They're like the tomatoes are falling and the robot can already analyze the green ones and the trajectory of which they're falling and perfectly strike the green ones out of the bin as it's falling. And it's a absolutely petrifying video of technology going to go very astray very quickly. I just don't want to know.
I mean, it could differentiate. That's what the problem is. It knew which ones to kill and which ones not to.
It knew what to kill and what not to, and it did it so fast that we don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No.
It's not good. Why do I think every robot is ready to kill me? Why can't a robot just do its job and then not kill me?
Watched Terminator movies?
I know.
Are those slowly becoming documentaries?
I want to hear from people. Like, I really want to know if I'm the only one that thinks like robot technology is scary. People go, no, I can't wait for self-driving cars and robots that will make my dinner and and do all sorts of stuff. I have no fear of this, whatever. This is irrational. Just because a robot will make your pasta dish doesn't mean it will kill you. It just will make your pasta dish until you tell it to stop. But I have this irrational fear, so. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the video of the bomb shooting. I'm sorry, I mean three-point shooting or half-court shooting robot. Did I say bomb? I meant basketball.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Well, you were probably right the second time.
Right.
And probably. Fourth and third and first.
Yeah. All right. The dumb.
The dumb of the day. And I you know what? I feel bad for putting her in the dumb, but I have to. I'm Aunt Becky.
Aunt Becky.
Yeah. Did you see what Aunt Becky did?
I did. I don't know if I saw what Aunt Becky did,
or
but I know.
What is happening with Aunt Becky?
She is going to jail.
For a long time.
And she had no idea she's going to jail.
Well, she didn't believe that someone of her caliber, I'm putting this as nice as it possibly can, someone of her caliber would ever see the inside of a jail. So
yeah, she never thought that this would be jail time.
She pretty much was attempting to call the DA's bluff.
Oh, geez. What are you doing?
On being indicted with just mail fraud and conspiracy to mail fraud or something like that. So instead, the DA did not take kindly to that because there's the Felicity Huffman and that whole, there's a whole group of them. There's like 16 of them. And Felicity Huffman was part of that 16 who pleaded guilty already. And basically are going to get, I don't know if they see jail, it might be like, 10 days in a very cush Club Med type of jail that, celebrities go to.
Right.
And a fine and then obviously, community service and, on probation and blah, blah, blah. Very, very light sentence. A very good deal. Like, yeah, just take it, leave it. Then we're going to forget about Felicity Huffman in 2 minutes. But instead, Aunt Becky said no. And now the DA office is wanting to slap on top of the money or on top of the conspiracy to commit mail fraud, also money laundering and conspiracy to commit fraud, which carries a sentence of a max of 20 years.
Wow.
So, we can't think that Aunt Becky really will be in jail for 20 years, right?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. No. But she's not going to do 20 years.
She's not going to do 20 years, but you know what? If, really talk to your lawyer, and if your lawyers, if one group of lawyers is offering a deal that seems really nice compared to what the alternative could be, maybe go that route.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. It's just me. That's the way I look at it.
Unreal.
But I can't believe that, she would have the gall to say, I'm going to call the bluff.
don't call the bluff.
They don't have anything on me.
Exactly. Oh, wow. All right, so the good, the bad, and the
she's
dumb.
She's going to jail.
Friday, she's going to jail. She is the dumb. Oh, my goodness. Aunt Becky going to prison. My goodness. All right, 800-777-2907, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM. Glad you could join us. One of something that's coming up this weekend, I know some of you are into it and some of you aren't into it, so bear with me a little bit. Game of Thrones is coming back on Sunday, the season finale. Whether you're a Game of Thrones fan or not, I got to tell you, there used to be a saying with television, right? They used to be, people used to make fun of it and say it's the idiot box. And you could make that case. I mean, a lot of shows, the shows I grew up on, I remember I used to like The A-Team. I used to like Knight Rider, right? I used to like these 80s shows. And then as I got older and became an adult, I would see them on like some sort of nostalgic channel, right? Like, relive the 80s or and then they would have those shows on and I would rewatch them and I would watch them and it'd be like, oh, it's not that good. Like, plots were real basic. The acting was kind of so-so. The action was okay, but storylines weren't all that awesome. That's changed a lot, right? Television has gotten a lot better. And I credit a lot of the writers and the creators of TV for putting out some really, really good television. Game of Thrones is really good television. I know some of you haven't seen it, and some of you are can't wait for Sunday. But when you put together like Breaking Bad, when you put together like The Walking Dead, which hasn't been great over the last couple of years, but when it first launched, I mean, Mad Men was outstanding television. There's some other shows that I even watched that I know have gotten massive critical acclaim for the acting and the writing. And now that it's branched into Netflix and now it's branched into other forms of, you know, of delivery, it's amazing how good television really is. And Game of Thrones is one of them. I can't wait to see how it ends. I remember I avoided it because fantasy genre isn't really my thing. I mean, I like Star Wars, but, you know, dragons and, you know, that just isn't my, that's not really my cup of tea. And so, but I kept getting, my friends kept telling me over and over again, you need to watch this. You need to watch this. And I was like, okay. So I had HBO and I was binge watching it. And I remember like, three episodes in, I was like, I don't even understand who these people are. Like, I don't get this. Like, I'm not understanding this. They're referencing characters. I don't know who those characters are. The plot line is hard to follow. I'm getting kind of bored. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to stick with it. And I stuck with it. It got really good, and I got kind of into it. And I was like, okay, this is very entertaining. I'm kind of in. And when I was done with the first season, I got really good advice. And it's advice I give people. My friend told me, now rewatch it. Like rewatch, and I was like, wait a minute, I just watched all these episodes, like 10 episodes. You want me to rewatch? He goes, yes, rewatch it. You got to get this season down before you get to the other seasons. So I did, and it made a world of difference because when I rewatched it, I realized, okay, those names and people that they were talking about, now I knew who they were, and now I knew how it all came together. And it made the episode really enjoyable. I like television like that. I like television that is intelligent. I like it's very good. All right, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.